This is Steven Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. Hey, Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go here.
So, this is Steven Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Dunk.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Steven Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Good evening and welcome to episode 302 of the Down to Dunk podcast. We're here live at Anchor Down with myself, Andrew, Jay, and Taylor.
Yeah, and
we're gonna have a special guest, John Hamm, on the pod.
Good lord,
man. And later we're gonna have a special guest, Alex Spears.
Good job.
Good job.
What's up, dude?
So the Thunder play the Pelicans tonight. They haven't been playing well really at all since Victor Oladipo went out. I think that they are 1-3 since Vic was out. That one win was against the Phoenix Suns, who are not a very good team. And then they lost to a lot of mediocre teams, like the Hawks. The Hawks aren't very good, but they lost to the Hawks, and that was a really disappointing loss. A lot of it was because that stupid last two-minute report came out, and it showed that Russ was fouled, which we thought. He was fouled on two of the last plays where he could have at least tied or won the game. I guess my first question is, how do we feel about the last two-minute report, Will?
Boo, we get boos.
According to Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript and Locked On Thunder and about a dozen other things, Billy Donovan, not a big fan of the last two-minute report. Basically saying, what does it accomplish? Now, apparently the officials love that transparency, at least that it's there.
I guess, but remember when they went to battle with the NBA on Twitter with the last two-minute report? Like, that was right. Really weird.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, it doesn't change anything. I guess you get some kind of vindication if you're a fan.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
I kind of like it. I kind of like it because it lets me know that I was right in what I thought should have been called. Like, yeah, hell yeah, I was right. That was a foul three times.
It drives me insane. But
you don't like it.
No, I hate it. It's unnecessary. Yeah. Somebody tweeted back to us on Twitter and said something to the effect of, like, well, it helps me in my insane rage. And so I kind of agree with that. Like, it helps me realize it's validated, but I think the truth is that it annoys me more than anything. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. So basically this season, well, the Lakers game was not a last two-minute report. That's just the NBA came out and said, yeah, Nick Young traveled, as
right.
It turns out. They got the benefit against the Rockets. Not the last game, but the first time they competed against each other. And so this. So basically, go ahead and tilt that however you want. 2-1 in controversial endings of basketball games.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate the last 2-minute report. I wish I didn't even know. Because I was just reminded of it the next day. It's like, oh man, that really sucked. The Russ got fouled on those last two plays. And then I'm just completely reminded of it.
And I went back and watched that replay today, and the official that could make the call was, like, behind Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't in position to really see what happened. And maybe that's because NBA players are, what's the word, fast? Maybe they just really can't get a good angle.
Oh, athletic.
I don't necessarily blame the officials for that, but, like, Fred said that the officials like the transparency. But in that situation, like, what are they even supposed to feel about that? Like, I was totally wrong.
Yeah.
And the whole world knows. Like, do they really like that?
I think it comes out of the whole Tim Donaghy thing, because out of that, people assume that every NBA official was crooked. And at least they feel here that there is some transparency where the league is actually releasing where they, you know, were correct or incorrect. And, by the way, then they're able to tilt that and say, well, we get 99% of the calls correct. Because there's so, you know, it's just a sheer number of calls that are available there that are correct. And, you know, we don't get that many incorrect. They just happen to be at critical moments of the game.
Yeah, and a part of me was like, I don't want to blame the officials for anything. Like, I don't want to. But when the Thunder's margin for error is so slim, and then it comes down to one call, I mean, that one call was the game for the Thunder. The margin's too thin for them now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, obviously the game, you go back to the third quarter of that game, and defensively, you know, that's where they let the Hawks score a ton of points and get back into it. But, no, you're absolutely right. It is frustrating because, like you said, the margin is so much smaller this year, especially when there's injuries and stuff.
When there's no Victor Oladipo. Oh, feedback.
Yeah.
Huh? Hey, guys, if you've been listening to us this season on our podcast, you know that every week we buy a member of the Thunder or someone who deserves it a coupe. And we want to take a second to give the man that makes that all possible, Eric from Coop, the opportunity to tell us a little bit about his product. And I think he brought us a little something. I think we're getting bought a coupe this week.
Yeah!
We got coupes.
Oh my God, this is heaven.
What, you tried it already?
Well, yeah.
God, John.
I'm a lush.
What's Eric? Up, guys?
Hi, Eric. What are we drinking right here? What is
Right now, we have a really special treat for you guys. So we have like a separate product line. It's all of our fancy stuff. It's called the Territorial Reserve Series. And this is our barrel-aged Imperial Stout. It's 13.5%. Imperial Stout base beer and then aged 13 months in Elijah Craig bourbon barrels. We just cracked them open and bottled it last week. It is pure friggin' gold. So enjoy responsibly.
This is delicious.
I have to make one observation. The guys, your acapella intro from a previous pod was
good.
Spot on. Couldn't even tell.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, so if someone's listening to this, they're in the Oklahoma City area or surrounding area, and they want this, and I suggest it because it's so good, where can they find this?
This is a really limited batch. There are select liquor stores. Your really good liquor stores around town are going to have it. They may only get like a case or two at a time. The best way to know about releases like this is to follow us on our various social medias, Facebook, Twitter, etc. We always make a big deal out of it. But these are usually like they're in the liquor store for a day and then they're gone. So this is kind of the special stuff. But saved a bottle for you guys because you're so sweet.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Guys, follow Coop on their social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that, because this stuff is worth it.
Eric, this is so alcoholic.
Taylor's already...
Oh, my God, you already drank it?
Wow. I thought it was a shot. I thought it was a double.
You already finished
it. So I finished it.
These are called sippers in the industry because you're supposed to sip, not chug.
I'm a chugger.
You may want to turn his mic down.
I'm a shooter.
About 10 minutes once that enters his blood system.
I'm a shooter. All right.
All right, cheers, guys.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Guys, it's time we move on. We're going to rank our top five Christmas movies in the top five power rankings.
Top five power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top five power rankings. Boo, 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 boo. Top five power rankings. Down to the podcast of the power rankings.
Oops. That was a little too soon. I think that my favorite Christmas movie is Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Is there another movie that will take the top spot from Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, Jingle All the Way. Can I get a hell yeah? Jingle All the Way! A lot of Jingle All the Way fans in the house.
How did you make...
Turbo Man.
How did you make that happen?
Turbo Man. Jingle All the Way! Can I get a hell yeah?
Like that.
Yeah. What about Love Actually?
Yeah.
Boo.
Everybody boo John Hamm's selection.
Boo.
I like
You're
Love
All
Actually,
Wrong.
Man.
Number two is Elf. Elf is so good.
Elf.
A lot of Elf fans in here.
Elf is amazing. A lot of Elf fans.
Home Alone 1 and 2. Amazing.
Agree.
So is that number 3 and 4, or is that just you collectively made that?
I don't know. Whatever you want it to be.
The Home Alone saga.
Eight Crazy Nights! Yeah!
That is that's actually the opposite of a Christmas movie.
It's the number one Hanukkah movie!
It's a Wonderful Life. On a serious note, we should all watch that and then internalize it and make it a part of our Christmas hearts.
You know, don't take every day for granted.
Yeah.
You never know.
Hey, you have value even though you don't know that you do.
Yeah.
You should also watch Love Actually and appreciate love in all its various forms.
I do. I do like that movie a lot.
You shouldn't just like it. You should love it.
So
I've never seen it.
What? Hold on. What's your? So that gives you four. Does Christmas Story make its way in there?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Overrated.
What? What about Christmas Story? Is it overrated?
Boo, it
Christmas
sucks.
Story.
No, it's good. It's good. Cheer for that right
Cheer.
Now.
Cheer. You'll oh, shoot it. Your
it's
eye.
Very good.
Michael, stop.
It's very good. What's not good about it?
There is one Christmas
can't cheer
movie.
For them all.
No one has brought up yet.
What?
And that is Die Hard.
Die Hard's
Die
a Christmas
Hard.
Movie.
How about Die Hard? Nothing spreads Christmas cheer like watching John McClane kill everybody.
Yippee-ki-yay, monkey flunker.
Wow, got him. John Hamm on the pod, everybody.
What about
Friends starring Ryan Reynolds
it's good,
and Amy
it's good,
Smart?
It's good.
That's a Christmas.
Is that a Christmas movie? Yeah, it is.
It's good.
That's a Christmas movie.
Yes, it's good.
What about The Holiday? Any Holiday fans out there?
Please stop. Please My stop. Wife. We can go ahead and stop and okay, move to the next segment now because you just mentioned that.
What about Edward Scissorhands?
This is.
What, are you just making up movies with cold weather?
No. That's a Christmas movie.
We're moving on.
What
Christmas?
About The Revenant? Anybody in for The Revenant?
Hey, who likes the Lord of the Rings awesome. Trilogy?
All right, guys, we are moving on because this has gone completely off the rails. Two Twitter questions.
Twitter questions.
All right. Our first Twitter question comes from at Ben Vance, who wants to know. You have just become Santa. What is each Western Conference NBA team getting for Christmas?
So we're probably not going through every single Western Conference team.
Yes, we are. We're not All leaving right. until we go yeah. through every
so
Western
brace,
Conference team.
Brace yourselves.
I'm giving the Mavericks a time machine because there's nothing good now, but there might be good things in the future and in the past, but not right now. Time machine for the Mavs.
I'm giving the Oklahoma City Thunder another time machine.
Stop. Here's what I'm giving the Thunder. I'm giving the Thunder a Rudy Gay trade, not to the Thunder, so we can stop talking about Rudy Gay.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
No more Rudy Gay trade talk.
We don't have to talk about Rudy Gay anymore.
Speaking of Sacramento, I'm giving them competent management for Christmas.
What is that?
I don't know. It's what they don't have.
It's funny because I'm giving Boogie anger management. It's what he doesn't have.
I'm giving Boogie a get-out-of-jail-free card for Christmas. I really do. Have that where he can go wherever he wants.
Here's what I wrote for the Kings last night, very late: a lump of dumb coal.
Yeah. I have Golden State. I have a gift for Golden State.
A swift kick to the crotch.
No. A stocking from every citizen of Oklahoma containing their own crap. So everyone from Oklahoma dumps in a stocking, and we send it to Golden State.
Sounds
500,000 stockings.
Oh, there's
of crap.
More than that. There's millions.
Millions. I am giving the Denver Nuggets a 4-pack of DNR from Coop. And a cell phone, because they need to make some trades.
Yeah.
We need to get them a little...
And they may need to be feeling good.
A little liquored up.
I'm giving the Minnesota Timberwolves another year.
Oh, that's nice.
One more
I'm
year.
I'm giving them a trip to Disney World, because they need to have fun. They don't look like they're having any fun this
what?
Year.
You think Tom Thibodeau doesn't allow them to have much fun, just his presence?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. They don't. I'm giving the Clippers a jack-in-the-box because it is exactly what happens to them every year. Every year, there's this nice music playing. Everyone thinks that the things for the Clippers are going very well. And then this horrifying clown pops up, and it's like, Blake Griffin's hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, things are going terrible for you. And then you can put him back down, and then things will go well for a while until the playoffs. All right, now, the music is going to play after Blake Griffin comes back, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you're the Clippers, you're never getting out of the second round. They're a jack-in-the-box.
That's scary, dude. You had scary jack-in-the-boxes growing up.
Thanks.
I'm giving the San Antonio Spurs a new Chevy Tahoe to give to Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh, yeah.
You're getting Kawhi a new car?
To replace his late 97 model.
Maybe a 2010.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, not brand new.
No.
Newer.
Yeah. new to him.
New to him, right.
New-ish, yeah. Let's see. What else did I have? Oh, I'm giving the Blazers Nerlens Noel. Let's just make that happen.
Yeah,
like that's a real thing.
Yeah, really I'm giving New Orleans Chris Paul and actual role players, so that Anthony Davis can. Chris Paul goes back to New Orleans.
It's great. Anthony Davis has a
that's kind of
nice
great
point guard role players, and then they go out in the second round because Chris Paul's there. Chris Paul. Chris Paul's their point guard, so they go all the way to the second round.
Did it just get colder in here? I think it just got colder.
It got a little cold.
Any other ones?
I think that's it. All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @SquillIam, who wants to know, what's the fastest you've fallen in love with a Thunder player? It took @SquillIam under 20 games to fall in love with the Granty Man.
The Granty Man. I really, at the time, loved Eric Maynor. Whenever they made the trade for Eric Maynor, I was like, oh, that's savvy.
That's
a savvy GM move.
There were actual people who wanted... Actual people I know that wanted Eric Maynor to start over Russell Westbrook.
It happened, yeah. They were like, he's a better... He's a change of
he
pace.
He facilitates better.
He's a point guard.
He's a real point guard. He was great. I fell in love with him from the minute that the trade was made.
Don't you feel like those people shouldn't be able to be fans anymore?
What do you mean?
Like, if you thought Eric Maynor should start over Russell Westbrook...
I don't know that I can take away someone's fandom.
Yes. We have that power.
It's kind of a ridiculous assumption made by you.
I've got
fascist.
A potentially unpopular answer.
Yeah?
Kendrick Perkins, like the moment the trade was made.
Okay.
I loved it.
Even when he was hurt.
Even when
like
he
the
was
first,
hurt.
Like, month.
Yes. Okay. I was on cloud nine. I was with you.
It was great.
So excited.
Like I was like, this is awesome. I knew what the idea was. Serge Ibaka starting, Kendrick Perkins calling the defense out in the center. I didn't love the contract extension they gave him, but you know.
Did you also fall in love with Nate Robinson?
I did.
Before he was even on the Thunder.
Yeah.
What's funny is a friend of mine who doesn't follow the NBA very closely but knows Nate Duncan from dunk contests. He said, so was Kendrick Perkins like the tax so they could acquire Nate Robinson? I'm like,
I think you said Nate Duncan.
Did I say Nate Duncan?
I think you did.
Nate Duncan cannot dunk. He probably can't even perform a layup.
I'm going to assume he doesn't actually know how to play basketball.
It's all physics.
It's all physics.
It's all physics.
He plays basketball through math and science.
And lawyer stuff.
Yeah. Law. F lawyers.
Any lawyer?
All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. Who wants, and it is from @FallawayMyers35, who wants to know, would you rather have Joel Embiid or Blake Griffin on your team?
So really,
nobody wants to answer how they really feel because it's such a homeristic thought.
No way.
Wait.
No. I'm saying not Homer in the sense that we're from Oklahoma, just in the sense that I'm like... I'm about to say Embiid,
I'm not about to say it. I'm saying it. I want Joel Embiid.
I'm screaming
no
it.
Way. What way. Are you saying?
Way.
Embiid?
Way.
Guys,
Embiid, Embiid is so fun.
He was so drafted fun. In 2014.
He is so fun.
He's played 19 games on a minutes restriction. And you'd rather have him than Blake Griffin.
The most fun 19 games.
You're out of your mind.
And those 19 minutes?
19 games.
19. How many minutes does he get a game?
Okay, 24.
Spectacular.
You're out of your mind. Blake Griffin, for his career, 21-9-4.
They are both a little injury prone.
And his free throw percentage is better. Like, and he's played 7 years in the NBA.
Who has?
That's a lot of wear and tear that Embiid doesn't have.
You guys are at...
Taylor, let's agree to disagree and move on to our next Twitter question.
This is the dumbest agree to disagree I've ever been a
agree
part of.
Agree to disagree. Oh,
okay. Give me Embiid.
All right. Our next Twitter question comes from @KKDK012.
That is a Twitter handle.
Who wants to know, does the new CBA help us re-sign Russell or hurt us? He's read stories in both cases.
Hey, so listen, before we answer this question, I just want you to know that we have had the fortune of having one of the best CBA experts in the entire world on our podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Luke Stevens, take it away.
You didn't know.
Everybody but Luke, put your mics down. Right?
Obviously, you're not talking about me.
John Hamm knows the CBA. Him and Andrew will bow out.
Okay. So let me text Larry Kuhn real quick. And
No.
The new CBA... yes, it will encourage Russell Westbrook to stay with the Thunder. It's like the entire league has done an about course. In 2011, it was all about, we can't have super teams, we're losing a ton of money, we've got to have rules in place to disrupt this. And then in 2016, it's like, well, the Warriors are really good, why ruin a good thing? Maybe superstars should stay with their teams. So basically, the Thunder, come July, will be able to drop an extension on Russell Westbrook's lap, 5 years, close to $220 million. If he says no, he probably doesn't want to be here.
Right. So here's a bigger question. Should the Thunder do it?
Do what?
Should the Thunder... I mean, I guess you extend them regardless, right?
Yeah, like...
If you can get them 5 years. Yeah, yeah. So that's my question.
What are you supposed to... What else are you supposed to do?
I don't know. The long-term concerns, because at age 34, you've got to wonder, like, is there going to be a Dwayne Wade effect with Russell? Because, yeah. You know... But yeah, you still got to pay that, because your options of replacing him are...
Yeah, and I think one of the bigger part of that question for me is the fact that, like, the Thunder are in that kind of not going to get to the lottery, not going to get to the playoffs, or not going to get to the finals,
right,
kind of area, which is fine. But as a spoiled Thunder fan, when your expectations every year are to go to the next level, you know, to take to the finals, conference finals at least, like, it's hard to just wrap your mind around the fact that could you go and get a few pieces that in 4 or 5 years could actually provide a championship? Or are you hoping that Russell Westbrook, with this team, somebody is eventually going to join him, the guys they have are going to develop to the point to where all of a sudden they'll be championship contenders? That's just a risk, I feel like, that's part of it.
So this new agreement, I think, is going to discourage, like, big-name stars from changing teams. So the idea of Oklahoma City going out and signing that guy is just really... It was not realistic to begin with. It's almost non-existent when this new agreement goes into effect. Think back to the Lakers post-Shaq. There was the 3.5 years where the Lakers were just kind of just floating along, and they just had the right assets that when Pau Gasol became available, they were able to pounce.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Thunder need to do. They need to stay flexible. They need to be ready in case that kind of player comes on the market so they can jump in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Thunder aren't going to sign a free agent anyways. Like, even if the rules were the exact same, I don't expect, like, Blake Griffin or Paul George or somebody to jump ship and just come join the Thunder. It's going to be via trade or via the draft that the Thunder
be great again. Rudy Gay.
Yeah, but still, I believe if Paul George came to anchor down and check this place out, he would sign up.
That's right. Yeah. That's what we need him to do.
I agree.
Well, hey, I do love pork corn dogs.
Hey, what's the...
Sam, sign me up.
What's the wild dog tonight?
The wild dog is jalapeno, cheddar, pork dog.
Whoa.
Dip that in a cheese sauce.
It's so good.
Oh, man. I should have gotten that.
If you didn't get the wild dog, here's your chance.
It's on a bed of freshly fried chips.
Oh, my gab. That sounds great.
Oh, my gab. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @BPena, who wants to know the over-under on Westbrook having 25 techs this season.
Under. I mean, the suspension is at, what, 16?
Say it again.
The extension kicks in at... Or not the extension. The suspensions kick in at 16, right?
Yeah. And he's shown in the past that whenever he is close to that he will...
He'll rein it back.
Right now, he's on pace for 20 for the season. I don't expect him to get to 20. I expect him to... I mean, even last year, like, he was able to rein it in a little bit whenever he needed to. So I don't expect him to get to 20 or... I mean, he may hit 16. He may be suspended for a game in which, I mean, it better be against the Sixers or somebody, or else it's going to be awful. But, I don't expect him to hit 25. I think he'll be under.
No, because, I mean, you're talking about if you get suspended at 16 and then for every other technical, you're talking about 4 or 5 games of being suspended. It's just not going to happen. It's not only Russ, but I'm sure that there's going to be some influence from the league, from the team, to get to the officials and say, cut him a bit of slack. He's a little stressed.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it happening.
And Russ is going to break a lot of records this year. He's going to break the record for usage rate. He's going to break the record for turnovers for sure. So like those are going to happen, but I would not expect him to get that many technical fouls.
All right, well, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @John_Whipple, who wants to know, can you find number trip dubs number zero would have if teammates hit more open shots? 3 of 18 from three in the first half of OKC versus Atlanta got him thinking.
So the stat that I looked up that was really interesting is potential assists. It's on the NBA.com stats page. And Russ is second in potential assists at 20 potential assists per game. He only trails James Harden, who has 21.6. So, I mean, that tells me that his teammates aren't doing that well. Also, his adjusted assists are at 13.4, which is also second in the league. So, I mean, they're leaving stuff on the table, and it's because he's surrounded by guys that can't shoot or just not offensive players. So there's certainly stuff being left on the table, and he's going to have a quarter where guys like Robertson and Grant and, you know, everybody else, even Adams this season, are going to leave stuff on the table. So,
it's – you go back to that Atlanta game. They were in that game because they kept Atlanta off the offensive boards, and Oklahoma City got a number of offensive boards that extended possessions because they couldn't hit a darn thing.
Right.
So it is fairly remarkable. We all thought before the season, well, Russ's assists are going to come down.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his assists went to that guy that's not here anymore. Deion Waiters. He's not here anymore. Waiters. Therefore, his assists are going to go down. But, you know, they've remained, you know, it hasn't suffered in that area.
Right. Yeah, which is surprising.
Very shocking.
I mean, the fact that he got 22 assists in a game is insane with the team that surrounds him.
And Phoenix should feel really bad about that. Like, where did we go wrong?
Right. Even without Oladipo.
Without Oladipo.
Like, how did that happen?
So here's something to consider. Since December 1st, Oklahoma City is 26th in offensive rating.
Ooh, that sounds bad.
They are one of the worst teams in the league offensively. Since December 1st.
That's pretty good if it was out of 200 teams, though.
Right. Yeah.
That's top 25%.
How many teams are in the league?
In the NCAA.
Are there close to 200 teams in the league?
Yeah, I mean, they have struggled to score the basketball. There's no question.
Now, they've defended well, thankfully.
Yeah.
Or else this could be an absolute off-the-rails train wreck.
Right. And a little bit is. Right now, a little bit.
All right. Now let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @Johnny4USC. Nope, it doesn't. It comes from @RazSchwartzman, who wants to know, what do we need to do for our big men not to get rendered obsolete like they were against Atlanta?
Pass to them?
Yeah, I still don't understand.
Run a pick and roll?
Yeah. Atlanta starting with the small lineup, and Adams and Cantor get 9 combined field goal attempts.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how that's allowed to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. This has happened a lot this season where you're like, why can't they just run a simple pick and roll action with Russ? How would it not be effective, first of all? I don't know. I don't know what it's going
to
take.
Atlanta was more than happy for the ball to wind up in Robertson's hands.
Yeah. Sure.
To either take a three or try to create.
Did he take 9 in that game? I think he took 9.
Yeah.
Well, and that's insane.
And it's not even like you're asking big men to score in the clutch. Because Russ is really good in the clutch. He's been scoring.
Well, the whole team has been incredible. Yeah.
So, but it's like, doesn't it help anything at all for a big man to screen one time? You know, like just screen one time and Russ can still score. It's like a little easier, though, instead of ISO stuff or the ball moving around the perimeter.
This is going to bring up our follow-up question from @Johnny4USC. It's the same question, but why does Russ stop looking for the bigs in crunch time?
I don't know. I mean, this is another unanswerable question to me, and that why they don't run these simple actions for the bigs, because the Thunder should have like a high screen assist percentage, but they don't. Like, none of those guys are in like the top 50. Like, Adams has a decent assist screen percentage, but it's not that great. I mean, Adams should rank at the top of the league with that stat, but they don't use. I don't feel like they just don't use him enough.
You know, Billy Donovan the other day was talking about the number of threes they took and said, "Well, sometimes you got to take what the defense gives you." And my thought was, "Do you really?"
Yeah, I mean,
if they only give you half court shots, do you just take half court shots, or do you design something to try to get something else? I mean, I'm not. I don't know if you know this. I'm not an NBA head coach, so maybe I'm talking out of my rear end here. But that was my thought. Like, just because they're giving you the three doesn't mean, okay, let's go ahead and take that low percentage shot, guys. That's all we can get.
I think Billy Donovan's a good coach, but there's the one flaw with him is that he is always looking to adjust to the other team. He's never making adjustments ahead of the other team and saying that you're going to have to play with us. He's always playing with the other team, in which, I mean, that may be a part of his roster. I think that's some of it. But also, I mean, I don't know. I don't get some of that from him. So I don't want to criticize Donovan because I think he's done a good job this year. But sure. I think that's one of his flaws within his coaching mentality is that he's always looking to make the adjustment rather than, like, have the other team adjust to them.
And again, I hate to harp on the Atlanta game, but that's the most recent one. Again, if you're not going to utilize the bigs, then he waited a long time to downsize in that game and match up with them. So, yeah, that's something that obviously is something they have to kind of work through. But he also talked about in that game, like, it was a teaching moment towards the end of the game with Jeremy Grant.
Right.
And I think that's the other reality here is that, you know, we all want immediate results. We all want wins and losses. That's what we judge the team on.
Right.
I don't think that's what necessarily he and the management are judging the team on.
Right. And that goes into, like, the developmental year that we've been talking about.
That unfun stuff.
Yeah. Because the criticism for the Thunder, a lot of it's going to come in they didn't make the adjustment to win the game. And right. There's going to be a lot of criticism for the Thunder about that. But the Thunder are taking more of a long view with this squad, and it makes sense because this squad is not, I mean, they're not ready to go win really anything at all.
There is no trade short of, you know, a lopsided deal with Golden State that's going to put this team back in title contention this year.
Right.
So, yeah, they're just going to have to do the best they can, and they're going to have to, again, like you said, develop certain parts of their games and give them certain experience that'll carry over in future years.
Yeah. So basically, cowboy up, fans. Get on the horse and ride it out. Right?
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah. All right. Cowboy up.
Then let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @DTallyLive, who wants to know which will be higher at the end of the season. Jeremy Grant's three-point percentage, currently at 44%, or Roberson's free throw percentage, currently at 32%.
I am going to kill you. I'm going to actually kill you right now on the podcast. There's going to be a live murder right here because you called him Roberson.
It is hard to read. I apologize.
I cannot believe you just did that.
We send out, like, numerous tweets over the course of the season talking about how bad that position is.
Luke Goff,
so who,
cut him off.
Who is going to, what is going to be higher, Jeremy Grant's three-point percentage or Robertson's
Robinson?
Free throw percentage.
I think Robertson's free throw percentage has got to be higher.
Just call him Dre.
What does Robertson have to do with this?
It's Andrew Robertson, Ham.
More than you know.
What did you call? You said something on the sick pod.
Oh.
Oscar Robinson or something? That was great.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Robertson's free throw percentage. It's got to be better.
His free throw percentage?
Better than Jeremy Grant's three-point percentage.
I at this point, I don't have a lot of faith in that free throw percentage coming up.
I know. I just think that Jeremy Grant's three-point shooting is so unsustainable.
Oh, it is. No doubt.
Incredibly unsustainable.
But even if it settles at 35, I think it's going to be higher than his free throw percentage.
If he settles at 35, I will do a dance just for you, John Hamm, because I don't think that's going to happen.
What's Adrian Robertson's free throw percentage for his career?
You mean Anthony Robertson,
yeah,
the former Florida guard?
Yeah.
It was at 28%.
His
What's his career?
His career shooting.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look it up.
His career.
Get this man to basketball reference.
Andre Robertson shot over 60% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
And it has plummeted.
Okay, so that's got to come up.
He's 50% for his career. He was 61% last year, 47% the year before, 70% in his rookie year.
Surely it's going to come up.
31%.
His mechanics trying to be better at three-point shooting has impacted his free throw shot.
He can't.
Like, which is a good sign. It looks different.
It's a great sign.
It's not.
He's at 30% from three.
He is at least shooting better from the free throw line than the 3-point line at this point, which is not a good thing either. Go ahead. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Anton Robinson.
All right. Let's move on to our last and final Twitter question. It comes from at Boom OU Updated. Who wants to know what would help OKC more? Getting Depot Payne back or trading Payne Cantor for a piece to take pressure off Russ?
I think it's getting Victor Oladipo and Cameron Payne back. This team has no shot creation outside of Russell Westbrook right now. He has to do everything. And if they had two more shot creators, that would take a lot of pressure off him. I don't know what they're getting for Cameron Payne and Enes Kanter. I don't think it's going to be that great. It's not going to be better than what Oladipo and Payne can offer.
Right.
I mean, it's clearly going to be like Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley.
Yeah. If it was that, I would say that. Well, but it's not.
Like, yeah, it's you'd rather have Victor Oladipo, Campaign, and Enes Kanter on this team than trade away two of them for probably one role player back.
Why not do both? That's my question. I'm thinking outside the box.
Wow.
Why do I have to have one or the other when you can do both?
Bring me Oladipo and trade Kanter and Payne.
Why not?
Why not?
Hashtag.
Why not?
All right, and welcome back to part two of our live podcast here at Anchor Down.
Jingle all the way!
Jingle all. I'm so mad that you're getting that response from Jingle All the Way.
All right.
Yeah. Hell yes.
Part two, we are going to move into trade calls. And we have invited to take part in that our own Sam Presti impersonator, Alex Spears.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Wow.
Is it on?
All right. So let's get right into some trade calls.
Hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold on.
Oh, my gab.
Hold on, everyone. I'm so sorry. I was hearing it in my ear, but not in your ears.
Dig this nut to the trade machine. All right, guys, take it away.
First trade. These are all to Sam Presti, by the way. That makes sense. Which is Alex. Alex Spears, welcome to the pod. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Scott Layden from the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, Scott, how you doing? I just want to let you know first up front that I am committed to a community of collaboration, continuity, and consistency.
Well, okay.
What do you got for me today, Scott?
We'll trade you Alex Abrines and Cameron Payne for Ricky Rubio.
Whoa.
You'll have to renounce the trade exception / the $7 million in cap space to make it work, but it will work.
Oh, this is interesting. You know, I love Ricky Rubio. He is he's intentional. He's curious. He is supremely disciplined. Those are all real things I said about Billy Donovan. I think I'd do this trade. I love Ricky Rubio.
Would you really do it? Like, if you're like you?
I don't know why the Timberwolves would do it.
I don't know.
Well, you're Scott.
I don't have answers. I guess it's just to have more young talent to go along with your team.
I know, but they're not even playing their young talent now. They have Chris Dunn.
Maybe Chris Dunn sucks.
I think he might.
What if Chris Dunn sucks?
What if he does? He's a little old.
Then you might want to have Cameron Payne and a shooter to complement.
But don't you think they could get something better for Ricky? Little Ricky?
I don't know. Like, what are you going to get from Ricky Rubio right now? I don't even know if the Thunder would want him. Like, what do you need?
Why'd you trade for him?
I don't know. Why do you need another non-shooter on the team? I don't know.
Anyways, hold on.
I don't think either of us agree about this. Poll the audience. If you could get Ricky Rubio for Cameron Payne and Alex Sabrinas, would you do it?
No!
Listen. That's like pretty cheap to get an asset like Ricky Rubio. I feel like Ricky Rubio has more value than both of those guys. So then you could flip them, HGTV.
Flip or flop. Getting a divorce.
This is not the business of... What does he flip, guys?
Is that true?
He doesn't.
He doesn't really.
He flipped Irsan, who's balling right now.
That's true.
BT Dubs.
He is balling out right now.
Well, I knew that would happen.
Reggie sucks.
Reggie does suck.
Reggie sucks.
Patrick Beverly sucks. No. Patrick Beverly sucks.
I agree with you, but he's on my fantasy team, and he's been doing great.
He's actually good.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah. Patrick Beverly is... I hate Patrick Beverly. Next trade. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Stan Van.
Oh, Stan Van. Just up front, I wanted to let you know that the Thunder are a continuous experience. That's something I said.
Is that all?
They're a 4D model of resiliency. I might have not said that part.
Wait, did you say 4D model of resiliency?
Hey, yeah, can we just stop for a second to talk about my favorite moment maybe the last year was your really sick Stan Van.
Really sick, sad Stan Van.
You look stupid.
Where I couldn't remember Stanley Johnson's name because I was so sick. That was great.
Yes, sick.
Sick.
Okay, I'm going to give you Ish Smith and Stanley Johnson. And I need to get back Andre Robertson, Cameron Payne, and Kyle Sinclair.
What was that last one that you wanted?
I hate to admit that I want him back, but give me back Kyle.
Huh. Well, you know, this trade actually reminds me of a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. From a speech he made in 1910 in France called the Citizen Republic. And in it, he says that a great trade is one that spends itself in pursuit of a worthy cause. And I believe the cause of this trade is worthy.
What?
Also a real quote, except for the trade part.
Is that a real quote?
Yeah. I spent an hour and a half today reading transcripts from Sam Presti interviews. And the one in the summer, he had like a 9-minute intro that was off the cuff, and he made that quote from Teddy Roosevelt, just like randomly.
I remember that.
Like
yes.
4 minutes into it.
It's amazing.
What a dweeb.
Would you do that?
It's weird. I was a lot higher on Stanley Johnson last year. He's having a little bit of a sophomore slump.
He went to the D League.
Yeah, that's a bit of a sophomore slump.
Can you trade Stanley Johnson for Andre Robertson?
Can you?
I mean, you can. I mean, it works in the trade machine, but can you do that?
I love the idea of getting a guy on one of those old, cheap rookie contracts.
Yeah.
And you would have him for a couple of years, whereas you're going to have to play Robertson something this summer.
I like that aspect, but if Stanley Johnson is not good, then you are in big trouble because Andre Robertson is good already.
Yeah, and it'd be easier if it was someone like Justice Winslow. If the Pistons had drafted him and this is the same scenario.
And they wouldn't do that.
Right.
There's a chance that like something like this could foreseeably happen, but
right.
I don't think the Thunder would do that.
They are taking Kyle off our hands, though.
They are taking Kyle,
That's
which is
pretty generous of them.
That means a lot. It means a lot to take Kyle.
I feel like some people, if we traded Westbrook, as long as like Kyle Singler was included, well, that's pretty good. Oh, I can see that. I can see that.
Ramon Sessions for Westbrook and Kyle. Huh, well, that's pretty good.
Interesting.
I'll take that.
Yeah. See how it works out. In Presti, we trust.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hello.
Vlade.
Hey, Vlade. Just before we get started, I want to let you know that... the Thunder's legacy will be built in real time.
Basketball to the Vlade to you.
There is no tape delay on progress.
The basketball from Vlade to Thunder, Darren Collison, Willie Cauley Stein, Omri Caspio, and for De Alex Abrines. DeAndre Robinson. the Cameron pen to you from me.
Wow, wow. This
love,
is really
interesting. Love the Kings to you from me.
Thanks, Waddy. Now, I've actually heard about Omri Caspi and his commitment to the process of discovery. Can you promise me he won't deviate from the process of discovery, evolution, and progress?
The round basketballs have a way to make the hole.
Collison's an expiring, right? Caspi's an expiring. And then you get Collie Stein on a cheap deal, but who knows if he's good.
I'm not sure what you said, but they play the basketball for my team.
That's
That makes you think. That makes you think a little bit.
It does. Do you think they would re-sign Darren Collison, come back as a backup in that scenario?
Why not? He's good.
I know. I think he's good.
He's good. Willie Cauley-Stein, I don't know if he's good. Omri Caspi is good. But
Willie Cauley-Stein fits like that idea of the defensive big that we want.
He does, but the Thunder have so many bigs.
But not defensive bigs.
Not defensive bigs. I don't know. I like it.
Apparently, I heard from Draft Express, he can guard all five positions.
He can move his feet laterally.
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know what I think about that trade, but the trade machine says that the Thunder get three more wins, so it sounds good to me.
Oh, my God.
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hello. It's me. It's me, Billy. I've snuck into the office of the Brooklyn Nets again.
Oh, I thought you were doing a...
This is a covert Billy operation Donovan. For Billy King.
Okay. Hey, Billy, how you doing?
Oh, I can't talk real loudly to you.
Oh, that's okay, because, you know, as I've been telling my friends, the legacy for this trade season is largely an unwritten book, and this phone call is certainly an incredible chapter to be associated with.
You have bad friends.
I certainly don't care, but I've got some trades to make to you.
Let's hear them, Billy.
Cameron Payne. Anthony Morrow, Kyle Singmer, four, Jeremy Lin.
Wow, Jeremy Lin. You're really pulling at my heartstrings. You know that I'm a big fan of him.
Hurry, hurry. I can hear people out in the hallway. They're coming to my phone. Hurry. Do you want it or not?
Wow.
Did you call him Kyle Singmer?
Who are you?
He definitely did call him Kyle Singer. I don't know if that's the same person. Man. First of all, let me just say up front, success is not linear. Okay? Just something that came to me. I just wanted to get that out real quick.
We want to add these guys to the bone dong.
If you added the bone dong?
No. We want them to be on the bone dong.
It's even more overt than normal.
Hey,
this is Sean Marks. Who is this? Who's on the phone?
What? Oh, nothing. Hanging up.
We caught Billy in here again.
I don't think I'd do that trade.
Jeremy Lin.
I love Jeremy Lin.
I like him.
I love him.
Taylor, what do you think of Jeremy Lin?
I think I'm really pleased with these guys saying they like him. I love him.
You're a big fan, right?
I'm a huge Lin fan.
I love Jeremy Lin.
We got some Linsanity fans in here. Jingle all the way!
How cool would it be if Jeremy Lin was in Oklahoma City?
Just hanging out.
Oh, you mean on the team? It.
I like his hair.
I love everything about Jeremy Lin.
He's great.
He'd be just a little better than Samaj Christian.
That first season in Houston and the Knicks.
He's good. He's got ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
Tim Connolly here from the Denver Nuggets.
Hey, Tim. I just wanted to let you know that as we go through these trades, my guiding principle is propulsive evolution, and I will not be deterred.
Oh. Well, I've wanted to talk basketball trades. Not sure if this is a good time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Kyle Singler, Anthony Morrow, and Domantas Sabonis.
You're including Kyle Singler in...
I want to get rid of Kyle Singler so bad. Like, I can't even... He goes in the trade machine first every time that I make a trade. Very first. There's no exception. Okay. Kyle Singler, Anthony Morrow, and Domantas Sabonis for Wilson Chandler and Will Barton.
You know, this trade actually reminds me of a quote from Nicky, the titular character from the 2000 classic Little Nicky, which is one of my favorite films. At one point in that film, the gatekeeper says to Nicky, "Are there boobs on my head?"
"Yeah, boobs and, on head."
And Nicky says, "Yeah, big ones." It's one of my favorite lines in the history of cinema.
Hell yeah.
And this trade involves some big ones as well. I think you would agree.
I would agree.
I don't think you can't do that, right? I mean, I like Will Barton.
I like Wilson Chandler. The Thunder are for sure better right now.
Oh, absolutely.
They would be...
Totally agree.
They would be really good.
Don't you feel like Wilson Chandler's just in his first half... He's doing his first half thing. He does it all the time.
I worry about his injuries.
I've been trying to trade him from my fantasy team for weeks now.
I know.
He has great stats. He's 17-7 right now with almost two threes a game.
He's good.
He does this every year, though.
Wouldn't Sabonis be great next to Jokic?
Or Nurkic.
Except defensively. I don't
think that is... I think that he can be better.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably better than their... pairing those two big guys or...
With him and... Better than him and Fareed.
Yeah, or playing Jokic at the four,
yeah,
which I don't
like. Yeah, but him and... Jokic and Sabonis would be awesome.
What about Jokic and Robertson?
He's not in the trade.
Well...
That would be awesome. I'm not including him, because he... Because along with him, you have Wilson Chandler and Will Barton... the Thunder are very good this year with those two.
Are they very good?
I mean, they're probably competing with the Rockets more than they are now. Yeah,
I think that maybe bumps their ceiling up to fifth seed, right. Maybe fourth seed.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that doesn't do a lot for me. I'd rather see what happens with Sabonis.
I'd rather keep Sabonis.
I just want to see what happens.
Literally fought for that entire thing and then just said, "Yeah, I'd rather do that too." You're like,
I'm just trying to. I'm playing devil's advocate.
I like it with my own self.
I really loved on your pod where you were really sick when you would just not want to argue with Taylor because you had no energy.
I was so
and you
sick.
You wouldn't even argue. You'd just be like, "No."
I stopped at a Whataburger bathroom right before.
Oh no!
I did. I did. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
It's Cubes.
Cubes.
Cubes here.
Hey, Cubes.
Mark Cuban from the Mavericks.
Cubes, I have some advice for you.
Oh.
Don't worry about the
past. I don't want to hear your talks. I want to hear my talks.
Sorry, Cubes.
Listen up. Wes Matthews, Seth Curry, for Enes Kanter, Cameron Payne, Deal or No Deal, Shark Tank me now.
You know, Cubes, 3 years ago, I said that the cement...
I want to hear the sharks! I don't want to hear your things.
No, I would not do that.
Huh. All right.
Why would you do that? I mean, I love Wes Matthews, another guy I love.
Yeah.
From his Portland days.
Yeah.
He's great.
Oh, he's great.
But I feel like that's their main two trade chips. And if that's...
Oh, for the Thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if that's all you're getting back...
I mean, it's not great.
It's not great.
They're the worst team in the league, probably.
Yeah. I like it for the Mavs, though.
Be great for the Mavs.
Yeah.
You build with those two, Harrison Barnes, Justin Anderson.
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a bad team.
It's a really bad team. But at least you have young guys that are also bad. Last one. Ring, 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 ring.
Hello.
Pat Riley.
Oh, Riles.
Hey. Sam.
What's up?
What do you got for me today, Sam?
Well, do I have a trade for you?
No, no. What you got for me? What do you got to say?
I drink cement.
Oh. That's not what I was expecting, Sam. Okay. Enes Kanter, Cameron Payne for Goran Dragic and James Johnson.
Pat, 3 years ago, I said the cement had not dried on this team's identity. And today, I can report that the cement has still not dried.
In fact, I've considered calling the contractor because I've learned in the time since I said that the cement should have dried by now. And I'm beginning to think there might be some sort of problem. I might not know what concrete is. But back to this trade. I think Goran Dragic is a cement dryer. He's like a giant industrial fan, and I like that. What was the trade?
Goran Dragic and James Johnson for cancer and pain.
See, that's another one where I only do it if I think I can flip Dragic for something. Yeah. I mean, Dragic has been great this year. He's coming on.
The Thunder needs shot creators so bad. So bad.
They do, but does Dragic really want to come here and be a six man?
He leads the league in drives.
Is that an answer to your question?
I don't know.
I don't think I know.
All right.
Hey, can I tell you one more quote from Little Nicky?
Yeah.
Has
anyone ever said no to that?
I spent a lot of time on the Little Nicky IMDb page today. This is a real quote. Can I wash my winky in your kitchen sinky?
Okay.
I don't remember that part. I saw it in the theaters.
I do. It's never mind.
Right before he washes his wiener in the kitchen sink.
One of the guys got possessed by one of the brothers or something. Yeah. Saying that.
How do you remember this so well?
Little Nicky's good, dude.
Jay's got it on DVD.
I've seen it a few times.
I wish you were there to argue with us.
A few times.
You've seen it a few times?
A few times.
For some reason, Andrew doesn't like boobs on heads, which I don't understand.
So what happened?
Why,
that's one of those movies that would just show up on like TBS.
I've never seen it on TV. Little Nicky?
Oh yeah.
You have to actively watch it. You have to go find it.
Like I go to my guide and I'm like, search L-I-L
Nicky.
Nicky.
Can we do another segment on our podcast now?
Yeah. No, I just want to talk about Adam Sandler movies.
Are we moving on to...
No, say what?
Say what?
Now it's time for our Say What Stat of the Week.
Oh.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
What? I can't read lips, Jay.
Say what?
Stat of the Week.
I have a Say What Stat of the Week.
Ah.
I thought this was crazy. So, Oklahoma City, before the game that they're playing currently, they were fourth in left corner threes percentage at 43.3%. At the right corner, they are 28th in the league at 30.7%.
You know who's in the right corner?
I said, what?
Robertson. You know who's in the left corner? Victor Oladipo.
That's right.
Every other person that can actually make 3 points.
That was super crazy to me.
Say what?
Anybody
say
else?
What? Maybe say
I've
what?
I've got more. The Knicks average the most mid-range shots per game at 25.8 points per game, or 25.8 mid-range shots per game. The wow. Houston Rockets are the last.
Oh my God, this is so bad.
7.4.
Wow, that's insane.
Compared to 25.8.
Say what?
I
wow.
Said, what?
Say what? I got one.
All right.
Boogie Stoutland last night had 55 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks, got 2 techs, was kicked out of the game, and then was let back into the game and spit his mouth guard at Myers Leonard, and then got Myers Leonard to whine about it after the game.
Myers Leonard was
like
so mad.
A freaking wiener.
He did. Myers Leonard was so mad.
He was such a wiener.
It was awesome.
And it was on video.
And then when you watched him on video, you were like, why do you tie your hair up like that?
And his voice kind of surprised me a little bit.
Why?
I didn't know it was that deep. It's very
it's
deep.
Alex, you live in Portland. Why does he do it?
It's pretty deep.
I was actually going to tell you a story. I forgot to tell you this. I was walking home from school one day. Walked by a shoe store. Who's in there? Mason Plumlee. Buying shoes. Whatever. That's kind of
cool.
Yeah? I keep walking. 3 blocks later, I run into Festus Ezeli.
Whoa!
Coming out with his girl.
Hey, Festus is out for the season, right?
Stay in a wheelchair?
Yeah, that's sad. I like Festus.
Festus.
Another say what stat. The Thunder have the exact same offensive and defensive rank today.
15?
103.1.
Oh.
The exact same.
Number.
Hey, remember this summer? My boldest prediction.
Yeah.
That I didn't even really believe.
Okay.
Well, you have to update me what you'll give me for it. I told you the Houston Rockets would finish ahead of Oklahoma City in terms of defensive efficiency, which was dumb to say, but it's actually possible now.
It's possible, but without Clint Capella, is it still possible?
Oh, that's true. Well, that kind of put a damper on it.
Well,
hey, if we're going to talk about things we predicted, I'm just going to say the Knicks.
Yeah, got to give Jay some credit for that.
Give him some.
Do
some,
we?
Do we?
I mean, they're not good, but they're
15 and 13.
Is that about the Eastern Conference or is that about the Knicks?
Yeah, they're two games away from being like the 12th.
You're trying
to say
that I didn't know that the Eastern Conference would be this average?
I don't know what you were trying to say.
No, I thought they'd be better than they were.
I don't know.
Guys, I got a question. It's our last question, and it's possibly the most important question of the night. Are you miffed, and are you peeved?
Miffed.
Miffed.
Miffed. Miffed and peeved.
You miffed?
I got one.
Oh,
yes.
It's from today. I was miffed at myself.
Is it another poop one?
It's not.
Okay. Then don't say it.
No, it's very clean. It's a family-friendly miffed and peeved. I was at Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Went through the drive-thru.
Okay.
Lady at the front said, hey, your food's going to be just a little while. And I tried, in my head, I wanted to say, okay, or no problem. Instead, I said, oh, no. And she just like, she's like, I mean, is that okay? Are you still going to wait for it? I felt so dumb. She's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, who else miffed?
I got nothing.
I'm just kind of miffed at myself. I found myself trying to decide if Boogie Cousins... I've talked about Boogie a lot. If Boogie is like a bad egg or if he's gold. And I'm miffed at myself because he's just gold. He's just a gold person. And I'm miffed at myself
say that?
For even...
Why do you say that?
He's a great person.
Have you watched his last 24 hours?
That's great.
Did you hear
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm miffed at myself for letting that affect how I see him.
You're mad at yourself for letting reality affect
your
feelings.
What if I judged you on your last 24 hours and it was the day that you were sick as hell?
He would just be sick?
Oh, this
not
guy's a sick
not
person.
Not a jerk?
This guy's a sick person in my head. Is that how you, judge people?
Wait, judge people on how sick they are? You just like don't like sick
people.
Well,
but I think Andrew does if he judges people by their last 24 hours.
True.
I have no
This person throws up their entire life because they've thrown up.
All they do is throw up.
Stop
in a Whataburger
and throw up in the toilet. Peeved about you.
Anyone else have a miffed and peeved?
My kid's sick. I'm miffed about it. It sucks.
Your kids are always sick. Oh, your kid's always sick. He's been sick the last 24 hours. You're just a sick kid having dad.
Guys, thanks for coming out to our live pod here at Anchor Down. We'll have another one of these soon. And now, keep watching that Thunder game. Thanks for listening.